Starting Tech News Weekly. In 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm AJ Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by John Bubb. How you doing, John?
I'm doing a rich Stambolian.
Hey, rich. Ah, you pulled John, the rich Stambolian Bubb. I'm covered in grout. I'm redoing my bathroom as we speak. So I just stopped doing it so I could do the show. I actually cleaned up a little bit to do the show today, and hopefully.
You, sir, are a mess.
I am a mess today. No, I'm redoing an entire bathroom, and I need it done within 4 days, and I probably have 2 weeks worth of work that I haven't done.
So that's how these jobs always go, though.
I know. It takes forever.
It's always a two-week job that you have to get done in 4 days.
I know. That's how it always is. But here I am. We're going to be talking about today's this week's tech news, and there's some stories happening. Some things are happening that you sent me. I want to start off with the Apple story. Apple's iPhone 7 will reportedly debut on September 7th. What day?
Yeah, we haven't got any sort of official announcement from Apple yet, but all the analysts and insiders peg September 7th, which lines up, you know, with the debut of the iPhone 6S last year. It was around the same time, I think it was like September 9th. So September 7th falls completely in line, and it makes total sense that they would do it on September 7th.
What day is the 7th? That's a Wednesday release.
Okay.
September 7th would be a Wednesday. When are they doing the Apple event?
September 7th is a Friday.
It's a Friday? Where is it?
It's a Friday.
Am I looking? Yeah,
Oh, wait, no, that's October.
Nope, September 7th. That's a Wednesday. So what day would they hold this Apple event?
September 7th.
The Apple event would be September 7th, and... Oh, they're going to debut it. Okay, debut it September... And they're going to debut it September 7th. Okay. You know, I'm very interested in this phone. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of rumors that it's going to remove the headphone jack. It's going to have a new haptic feedback system for the home button. Mm-hmm. There's two different cameras. One on the regular 7, the 7, I guess, Plus will have a different camera, which I know a lot of people are going to be very upset at that. They're not going to be able to realize that these are two different cameras.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what rumors pan out.
What do you think is going to pan out? I mean, there's a lot of these rumors, but what do you think is the most realistic? Like, do you think the dual camera setup is a realistic...
That's 50-50. I think if you're betting on something, you want a sure bet. It's the fact that they're going to not have a headphone jack. I mean, that's really everything that we've seen so far indicates no headphone jack.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping that the headphone jack thing, I mean, that's going to be the one, right? That's the...
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how that works. And I'm not sure that would really stop all that many people still from buying it. But at the same time, it'll cause issues, no doubt.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know about the haptic touch stuff. I don't know much about it beyond what they've reported. But I'm very fascinated with the camera. I'm very much interested into this dual camera setup.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen it done in multiple ways. We still are not sure how it would be implemented. Like, I think LG does it, and who's the other one that does it? HTC? Or no, it was LG that does it, and then there's another company. I think it's like one of those, it's like a Chinese brand that we really don't sell too much in the States. But the way that it works...
ZTE?
Not the ZTE, the other one with the X.
Huawei?
Not Huawei. It could be Huawei, actually.
But Xiaomi?
It could be that one. Yeah, one of them. And the way that they implement it is that it's two cameras that patch into one mega shot. I think the way that LG works is that one is a zoomed in lens, and the other one is a regular one. I don't know. Pretty much, it's stupid. The LG one is really dumb, and it's not like the way that we think that a dual, you know, two cameras will work. It's literally two cameras on your phone, three if you add the front facing camera.
Yeah.
What was that?
It'll be very interesting, and we don't have too many weeks to wait to find out, which is the good thing. So it's like, all right, finally all this speculation will finally come to a head, and we can figure out what's actually going to be debuted.
Dude, that's 3 weeks away. Isn't that crazy?
Less than a month.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks away.
I sort of cannot wait because in some ways I really, 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 really want a new phone.
Well, I think it's time for you, right? So would
it's
you
time,
get...
I've had the iPhone 5 for like 3 years so now, would you so get... I'm due for an upgrade.
So would you get the Plus or would you get the regular one?
Gosh, it's so hard.
I think you'll
because
be forced into getting
Apple Store.
You'll be forced into the Plus. I'm positive.
More than likely, yes. It just sucks because I was at the Apple Store a few weeks ago, and it's just I like the way that the 4.7 inch device fits in your hand.
Yeah,
versus
it feels good.
The 6 Plus.
Yeah,
the Plus it's just. The width of it, when you hold it in your hand, it's just a little bit too big to hold.
I mean, like the phone I have here, this is a 5.5. But, it's 5.5 inches, the Plus, right? So technically, this phone and the iPhone 5, iPhone 6 Plus, or 6S Plus, whatever it is, you know, the latest one, it's supposed to be the same size, but it's really not. This is a smaller phone because, one, my edge curves, and two, it's not as wide. Like, one of my best friends, he has the Plus, and this thing is like this to hold. You know, it's very uncomfortable. It's
I love this. I love the 5.5 inch screen size compared to the 4.7 inch screen. There's no doubt about that.
I don't think
my problem is the fit in your hand.
See, I don't think for you it would be an easier purchase. Like if you went to the 4.7 inch screen, because right now you have a 4 inch screen.
Yeah, I do, but I've compared both sizes side by side, and it's just like, okay, yeah, 4.7 is an okay upgrade from what I have now, but at the same time, it's not that big of a difference, and quite honestly, I want that screen real estate.
Yeah.
That 5.5 inches, you just cannot compete.
You also want, I mean, if you have the option for a dual camera setup, like that dual camera in the back, I'm willing to bet that would be a major selling point for you because you like taking pictures and taking video with your phone. You know, I'm the same way. Yeah. I have this phone for, you know, as my camera, and I love taking pictures. I'm curious as to how much this is hurting camera sales, you know, like for DSLRs. And we know that they're not at the level of DSLRs, but I have to tell you, I've seen some remarkable iPhone shots. And even same, like my phone too, it's a great camera. But I've seen, like, John, like, beyond impressed, like, very, very impressive photos that have been taken from an iPhone, and I was blown away by it. You know, if you know what you're doing and you could kind of finagle it a little bit, you could get it to really look the way that you want it to look. I was just, so I think we've gotten close, but this might be the thing that puts it over
the
edge.
There's no way you can replace a zoom on a DSLR.
No, absolutely not.
Or any sort of optical zoom system. Yeah.
So since we're on the iPhone topic, there are alleged iPhone 7 assembly schematics that have been released.
Yeah.
And they seem to kill hope for dual speakers and a lot more other stuff. This is on 9to5 Mac. I just clicked on it, so bear with me when I'm talking about this. The schematics are posted there, but yesterday, an alleged iPhone 7 screen assembly leak appeared to hint at a redesigned home button for the device. So this is that touch haptic, I guess, home button that we're talking about. Something they previously told were rumors. The hardware upgrade is expected to come along with an improved camera system, repositioned antenna lines, which we already know, and the removal of the 3.5mm headphone jack. So when we're doing the coverage, because most likely you and I will be doing live coverage of this Apple event, I'm curious as to how they are going to sell the point that they have removed the headphone jack.
Yeah, well, you know, they'll do it with all this, the marketing gimmick with Beats headphones and, you know, Beats processing or whatever. And you know, it's just like,
I'm not against it. And I'll tell you why. Apparently, and this is coming from a major player in the audio market, okay? Apparently, there is a very inconsistent... So those headphone jacks all come from, like, the same factory, like, that everybody uses. And they're really cheap, they're really crappy in these phones, and they are very inconsistent as to what you have in your phone compared to what I will have in my phone. Apple has done a very good job at kind of, you know, making them kind of standardized and for the most part, but I have to tell you, I have an adapter. You know that the Mikey adapter that I have?
Yeah.
I plugged it into three different iPhones and got three different recording qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different. You know, it's inconsistency. And I guess they eliminate this. And digital will always be a little bit better for noise and things like that. They're saying that they're going to be putting in some built-in digital compression and gating and things like that in the audio, which is cool. Yeah,
here's my biggest concern, and I've said this before. It's the people that need to use headphones and charge their phone at the same time without having to worry about carrying an adapter with them.
Okay.
That's where you're running into problems.
And that's what we're going to talk about when they're adding adapters.
I'm not against adapters. You know, this digital audio stuff. It's the convenience of being able to plug in two things at the same time when there's only one freaking port.
I think it should have... The way that I would have seen Apple doing this is giving you the option. Like, what they should have done was forget about providing you with that 3.5 millimeter headphone. They should have provided you with a Lightning port headphone with the last model, with the 6S or 6S Plus, whatever it is. They should have provided
you
with
that. They don't make hardware changes. They don't make big hardware changes like that on those S models. So,
yeah. So, interesting.
That's
why
you're seeing all the hardware changes with the iPhone 7.
Yeah.
And that's generally when they introduce a new generation. They usually do a two-step generation where, you know, they bring out the new hardware changes and then they refine the hardware changes with the S models.
Yeah. All right, so we'll find out. September 7th is the rumored date. Invitations have not gone out yet. So, I guess we're going to find out in a week or so if this is the right date. I do think that will be the date for the debut. We'll find out.
I think so, too.
Yeah. You want to go into a story?
So Google Chrome will begin blocking Flash in favor of HTML5. In September, Google Chrome 53 will begin blocking Flash, such as the kind that loads behind the scenes, as Google says, which can slow down the casual web browsing. And HTML5 is a lot less resource-heavy when it is utilized in a page. So this is some very interesting news. That they're going to do this. And then they're actually going to go a step further in December when they release Chrome 55.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go and make HTML5 the default browsing experience. Man, I can't talk today.
It's okay.
So
I'm covered in God knows what at this point. You know.
The end of Flash is here when Google Chrome makes these switches. It's really going to start forcing people that still rely on Flash to change things to HTML5.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's amazing that Flash has been dead for the last, like, what, 3 years? But still a lot of services and a lot of people rely on Flash. Have we gone HTML all to HTML5 with our website? We have, right? With the embeds?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing any Flash embeds, but...
Actually, DCTV is a hybrid of both, where it's Flash and HTML5, because this is one of the issues with HTML5 is that when you're streaming using HTML5, you have to have a buffer there using HLS, and that's just inherent to the protocol. Yeah. Whereas with Flash RTMP, you don't have to have that buffer as large.
Yeah, you have
cut
pretty
that
much
down,
like a 3
which is
second.
Why we have a delay of only a few seconds versus 30, 40, 50, 60 seconds, like you see with HTML5 streaming services.
Yeah, I remember when Daily Motion went, and they've gotten better with that buffer. The buffer's gotten a lot better with HTML5. I think now they're down to like a 10-second buffer, but before, you're right, it was like 30, 45 seconds of a delay, and you know, that's really difficult when you're doing a live show and you have that much of a delay with your live audience.
It is, so... it could impact us because we use DCTV, which prefers Flash because of the lag issue.
Yeah. So,
and that's just simply what it is. HTML5 has not yet been able to overcome that.
Yeah, we're in a weird transitionary period with the way that these players are going in browsers. But, you know, Chrome is the one that's going to set the standard, and I can't remember the last time I installed Flash on something. Do you?
I still install it because I still have stuff that uses it.
Oh, so you know what? Let me go to the website. I'm curious here now, right?
I'm still surprised at certain things that do use Flash. I mean, I can understand, you know, you have a streaming player and you want to cut out the lag. I can understand that. I can there's a very legitimate reason why you would prefer Flash for a streaming product versus just some sort of web element.
Okay, so I have a question. How do I know if this is the Flash player?
Right click,
and will it just says Diamond Club players version 6.05.
Yeah, but I believe it's HTML5, or not HTML5, but Flash, because you see that message there at the bottom.
Delivered
about,
by Florida One. If Flash is blocked, you can enable it in the address bar.
Yeah.
Interesting. By the way, great job by those guys over there at DCTV. They really worked
Love
hard.
Sergeant Muffin.
Yeah,
Such
Sergeant
Muffin
has done. Yeah, very good guy. Yeah, this is interesting. There was, I don't know if they released, something changed on the Mac with the last version of Chrome, because a lot of the stuff is different and in different places. Like, if I go to inspect the site, right, like our website, resources is now gone. They moved resources somewhere else. I was playing around with this, and I saw some changes on the Mac side. I don't know if it's on the Windows side yet, but I know that they are starting to move stuff around a little bit and change the code, which is great. You know, more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Better for everybody. All right, what else do we have?
Let's see. All right, well, this is an interesting story. Walmart has bought Jet.com for $3 billion to better fight against Amazon. $3 billion is a lot of money. They say that will significantly enhance its online retail presence.
Okay, have you used
this Jet? This kind of came out of nowhere, though.
Have you used Jet?
I've looked at it, I think, once or twice.
So I had, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I had no idea what Jet.com was until about a month and a half ago. I was talking to Coco.
I mean, I've heard about it, but I've never really bought anything from them.
Yeah, so we went to press and we were talking, and he said, like, oh, you know, have you used Jet to buy stuff? And I said, no, I haven't. He goes, oh, well, they actually do coupons at Jet, and it's pretty cool because you could, like, find stuff that, and it's far cheaper than Amazon for a lot of these things. So, and they also have a wholesale shop, which is interesting if you need to do, like, wholesale orders. I don't know much beyond that about Jet.com. Like, I don't know who's purchasing it, like, what kind of stuff. I know that it's more like home goods, right? It's more like household items that they really concentrate on and not so much.
I don't know. They say that it's got 12 million stocked items.
That's amazing. And they seem to have come
from
nowhere.
In contrast, Walmart is not. No. It says they've seen online sales growth decline in 5 consecutive quarters. So Walmart is hoping that by purchasing Jet.com, they can get something to better compete against Amazon.
Dude, Amazon is just so easy.
Just part of that is the fact that Jet.com is still a relatively new player and still considered a startup at this point, I think. At least when you compare it to somebody like Walmart and Amazon. Whereas Walmart is such a big company, and they've never really been that great when it came to online and other ventures.
Yeah.
You know, the ultraviolet stuff or whatever that they try to do, their own Walmart DVD rental stuff.
Yeah.
Have just never really panned out, in part due to them just always being very late to the game. Whereas by purchasing Jet, I think they're going to get a company that's much quicker to adapt and all those other things that come with it being a newer startup type
so
of company.
The problem is here that Amazon has become synonymous with the simple process of purchasing something. You know, like I was thinking, when is the last time, and this is a good question for you. Forget about eBay, right? Like forget about like getting like used goods or anything like that. But when is the last time you bought something online that was not Amazon?
It would have been a year ago when there was something I wanted to purchase, but it was not on Amazon.
Okay. The only, I'm trying to remember the last time I bought something out of Amazon. I was thinking about this the other day, and it was on eBay, and it was a very cheap SDI converter box.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like $49. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 2 years ago. It was that HDMI switcher. It was that HDMI switcher that we all bought. Do you remember that? And then we tried to program it. It was that. That was the last time I bought something outside of Amazon. I mean,
usually if I can't find it on Amazon.
Yeah, like I bid for stuff like things like that, like on eBay, like collectibles and things like that. But like I can't think of the last time I went to like a Walmart.com or Jet.com or I don't even know who another major Alibaba maybe. No, you know what? AliExpress. I ordered something from AliExpress for Jess.
Okay.
I know. I ordered from Etsy. But again, those are like handcrafted things.
Those are things that you don't find on Amazon. Yeah.
But like, I'm
that's what it comes down to. If you find it, if it's on Amazon, you're going to buy it.
I'm telling you something. Something that's being overlooked here is, you know, for years, Amazon was terrible with clothing. You could not really buy clothing on Amazon. It was sporadic what you could really find. They have upped their play in clothing for men and women. They really changed that game. Most of the time, it was like cheap Chinese knockoffs of everything.
They have that whole Gilt brand now.
What brand?
Gilt.
Gilt.
Gilt. Gilt.
What is that?
That's their fashion brand.
Really?
Or fashion website or whatever.
For Amazon.
It's strictly for clothing.
Oh, that's interesting. Like I'm looking at their clothing right now. It's cool. The other thing that they've gotten into is the startup products, if you notice that. This started about last year.
Yeah, they have this whole new section now for Kickstarter projects.
Yeah. And by the way, I've bought stuff from there. I bought this home garden from there for Jess, and it's amazing.
And you know, a lot of it, too, is you know the customer service that you get from Amazon versus other places.
Dude, like right now I'm looking at this, right? Wi-Fi pet tracker. It's $200. It's a startup product. It's a startup product, okay? But if you bought this, like remember like the coin that wallet, like the credit card that you program? Okay.
Yeah.
So I bought it on Amazon and my wife's cousin's boyfriend bought his through the website, like through coin, through their website. It broke after a year and a half. Both of ours broke. He went to go return it. They wouldn't accept his back. I just told Amazon, I said, listen, I bought this for my wife and it broke. They said, you know what? Would you like your money back or would you want store credit? I said, no, I want my money back. And they just sent me the money immediately.
You know what Amazon has started doing now is that they've actually started saying, hey, if anything is damaged in shipment before it gets to the customer, you have to return it before it gets to the customer.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, my mom ordered something this week from Amazon. And Amazon sent out an email a couple days ago saying, your package was damaged in transit by the shipper and it's being we don't have one to send you, so we're just going to give you a refund.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
that's interesting.
She never got it, but they handled everything else and just gave her a refund and she didn't have to do anything. And she just got an email saying it was damaged and here's a refund.
Yeah, so I mean there's a lot of cool stuff on there now and they've really upped it, but you know, I'm all for supporting another company. We need competition with this, but there's really no way that Amazon, that these companies are going to be able to compete with the shipping rates for Amazon is doing. It's amazing. It's really amazing. By the way, if you guys are interested, I'm going to post a link in the chat room to their startup page. It's called Launchpad. That's what they call it. And I'm going to put a link in the chat room. If you guys want to browse around and see it, it's really, really cool. They have some really cool products there. A lot of unique, bizarre products, like a toilet bowl glower. The Illumi bowl. You can get one of those. It's very cool stuff. Guys,
I kind of want one of those.
I know you do. Why do you want one so bad?
I don't know.
You know what? Can I buy this
it's
for
so
you?
So gimmicky.
Can I buy it for you?
No.
If I buy it, I want you to do a real review of it, though. I want you to. I want you to do like a real review. All right, let's move on. Let's go to something else. What do you have?
Before we move on, by the way, guys, if you do shop at Amazon, use our affiliate link.
Yes.
gfq.co/Amazon.
Yes, that's gfq.co/Amazon. Use that.
So Pokemon Go has reportedly hit 100 million downloads. This is according to a report by App Annie. It says it's now been installed over 100 million times, up 25 million from late July.
Wow.
And while that number is from an analyst report and the number of actual downloads could be slightly different, it's not that all hard to believe.
No, it's not.
App Annie also says that the game still earns over 10 million in daily revenue from both iOS and Android apps.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't 10 million a day in revenue.
So the revenue comes from what exactly?
Whenever you buy something in the shop. You know,
if you buy coins. Yeah.
Their digital currency, their microcurrency or whatever, and you do your microtransactions, and then you buy stuff in the shop like the coins that you can purchase other things like bag upgrades, storage upgrades, lucky eggs, lures, etc.
Okay, so I haven't played Pokemon Go in weeks at this point. I'm not done with it. You know what the problem is? Jessica took my charger. And every time I go to like press and I'm trying to play, my battery's at like 35%. I don't know what happened to my phone. The battery's gotten so crappy on this thing, on the Samsung Galaxy S.
Why don't you just get another charger?
Yeah, I got to get another charger. I know. I'll order another charger and I'll get another charger. But she took it and my battery's always dead when I go out and I'm like, oh, screw this.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my phone than to have, you know, than to play the game.
Make sure you get a charger that does at least 2.1 amps.
Yes, yes, because you want the fast charging, correct?
Right, because this is a problem that I've run into when I'm out in my car and I just plug my phone into my charger in my car. It only outputs 1 amp, so it'll kind of charge it, but it never really gets any better.
I mean, it's crazy how cheap.
If I plug it in at, you know, 14%. It'll sit there at 14%, eventually start going back down to 13%.
Yeah. It's crazy. All these chargers, these banks, these power banks, even with Prime, there's 4 to 5 days to get it because so many people are ordering these backup banks.
That's crazy.
And the prices have plummeted. 10,000 milliamp portable power bank. I'm looking at this one right now. It's by PowerAd Pilot, and it has fast charging. This thing is $17.99. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I'll post the link in the chat also for you guys.
I think I paid $15 for a 6,000 milliamp battery.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pokemon Go, do you think they're going to hit a billion downloads before Windows 10 will? Can you imagine a billion worldwide downloads for Pokemon?
I don't know.
Is it the most successful
game
right
now? That's a lot of people.
Is it the most successful game on mobile?
Probably.
Most likely, right? I can't.
I know. There's been some times so that I've gone close to the point of giving up.
Have you?
Just because of various things. The tracker being one of them. Yes, they implemented a new sightings tracker.
Yeah.
And while it is somewhat accurate, it still doesn't give you any sort of hint as to what direction you need to go to find it. Which is super annoying. It's like it could be in any direction, 1,000 feet in any direction, and you have no idea which direction to go.
It's amazing.
Like it would be nice if we could tell you at least north, south, east, west from your current position.
Yeah,
give me a direction.
I park myself at press and I just sit there and I drink and I play. That's pretty much how I play. It is interesting though, 100 million downloads. That's very impressive. Very, very impressive. For a game that, you know, has all these issues. Tons of bugs. It's amazing.
So, speaking of impressive.
Yes.
Seagate has a new 60 terabyte SSD.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's right. I said that. 60 terabyte SSD.
And it's going to make its debut in 2017. This is a realistic thing. It's coming this year.
Yes.
The massive drive could hold up to 12,000 DVDs and a whopping 400 million photos. Now, 60 terabytes.
60 terabytes.
That is,
dude,
that's a lot. I wonder how much this thing is going to be.
I don't even have 4 terabytes in my computer.
This has 60.
This has 60. Now, this is aimed for businesses.
Yeah. I mean,
it's released as an addition to Seagate's data center portfolio. So this is really designed for data centers.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's amazing. No, I mean, there's no reason to go mechanical anymore, which, you know, for reliability reasons is great because these drives are way more reliable than the mechanical drives. A lot could go wrong with a mechanical drive.
I mean, the only thing this article doesn't give you is the price. And I'm guessing this sucker is going to be well over $1,000, if not several thousand dollars.
Well, what do we have available right now, like an SSD? What's the biggest SSD?
I believe the article said that the next biggest SSD is 4 times smaller.
Okay, so here you go. A 1 terabyte SSD is $300.
So like 15 terabytes.
Okay. So let's see. 10 terabyte SSD. Can we find a 10 terabyte SSD? No.
But that's still crazy. I mean, when you make storage that easy, my God.
Let's see. 6 terabyte SSD? I don't know if this is available. Yeah.
The only barrier to entry at that point is cost. And is still my biggest barrier to entry in having massive amounts of data storage is the cost of that amount of storage.
Oh, yeah, dude.
To have multi-terabytes of storage available.
So this, I'm looking
right
at
now,
this,
I only
right?
have maybe 4 at most in my server.
I'm looking at...
And even that's not enough.
I'm looking on Amazon. You could get a Drobo, which is not a hard drive. It's a network-attached storage box. And a 6 terabyte Drobo is $900.
Does that include the hard drives?
That includes the hard drives, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I don't know about that. Let's see. Yeah, that
doesn't.
Because
realistically,
hard
drives, you know, if you're going for like a Western Digital Red drive, you're looking at probably between $100 and $150 each.
Yeah.
Per drive for
and
like
by the
a
way,
2
these
terabyte,
are,
3 terabyte drive.
These are SSDs.
Okay.
So 5
you
times.
You easily, I mean, you could get probably, you know, a 10 terabyte storage system for probably $600, $700.
8 terabyte Samsung 850 Pro 2 terabyte drive is $834. So multiply that.
Here's the thing that really bugs me is that you're investing all this money into data storage, several hundred dollars mm-hmm. into data storage. And realistically, you will have to replace those drives every 3 years so they don't fail. So
which ones? SSDs or regular ones?
Any drive. Any drive you're going to have to invest in replacing probably at a 3 to 5 year lifespan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
So you're going to spend several hundred dollars minimum.
And have to replace it.
And then
replace it
again in 3 to 5 years.
Oh, so this is interesting. On Jet, a 1 terabyte SSD Samsung 850 EVO is $399. Let's see what it is on Amazon. I'm curious now for Mike in our chat. I just posted a link. So I'm curious about 1 terabyte SSD. A 1 terabyte Samsung SSD is, wow, $309. Wow, that is way cheaper, huh? You're cheaper
what's
by $90. $90. You're cheaper on Amazon. So that kind of answers if Jet is cheap or not. Yeah, that's amazing how we've moved up. But a lot of the issues with those early SSDs, they don't exist anymore. SSDs have gotten extremely reliable, and you could like we write to our SSDs constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any issues. I mean, I've never.
But it's still, you know, if you're taking your data storage seriously, you need to replace stuff every 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Just so that you have that peace of mind that, okay, I'm not going to have to worry about a dead drive randomly.
Yeah. So in our chat, a viewer goes, Samsung's PM1633 has a 2.5 inch form factor and holds 15.36 terabytes of data and is reportedly costing $10,000. So this thing is probably like a $40,000, $30,000 unit, this hard drive.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. And we're not going to get it on the consumer line for a long time, but
no.
Very
it's just
cool.
The thought of having, you know, 60 terabytes of storage. I love 60 terabytes of storage.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. Hey, John, nice quick show we did today, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice and quick. Guys, we're going to be back next week, obviously, talking all things technology. And you're going away today, right?
Tomorrow,
you're going away. So the show will be posted within a couple hours if you guys want to watch it on replay. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarin. You can follow John at Suncast. On Monday, I'm going to be on Cord Killers.
Cool.
Little heads up for everybody. If you guys want to see, I'm going to be on Cord Killers.
That's
on
at
Monday.
7 p.m. Eastern.
7 p.m. East. I'm going to be on with Brian Brushwood. And
that's
and
also on DiamondClub.tv.
That is also on DiamondClub.tv. So I'm going to be there. Are you going to be on anything this week?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Don't have any plans yet. So
good. No plans for you. All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll see you all later.